Tectorama episode 402 for April 16, 2014. Payment required.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Tectorama.
Remember when?
Tectorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Tectorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Quick, give me all your money. This is a stick-up.
Over there, in the media corner.
I got nothing.
Tectorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
What's this Darth Vader action figure worth?
Welcome to Tectorama for April 16, 2014. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Tectorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back, baby. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp, but I'm not always with you, am I?
Not really.
I want to thank Clinton before we go any further. Thank you, Clinton, from Comedy Forecast for filling in.
That's right.
On show 401. And I'm a little overdue, but also thank you to T and Pip for the entertainment on show 399 RC1. Or was that RC2? I can't remember what release candidate that was.
I don't remember. So, hey, Chuck, though, but you are always with me. You're always here, man.
Yeah, because someone's got to pay the bills, right?
I'm a wallet, my heart.
I thought for sure we were going to hear from the board of directors about me not participating enough and getting voted off.
Yeah. I think the conversation went more like his contract was up, or they weren't sure they're going to renew because of participation or lack thereof.
Starting to play like Howard Hughes. I'm in a hotel all the time. Nobody ever sees me.
Yeah. He's there, but he's not there.
We are going to take a real quick break and come right back with NASA, the LHC, and a huge Rubik's Cube that almost rhymes. Coming up right after this.
Here's the kicker. We don't want this technology to be available to every hobbyist. That's enough. That's quite enough, Otto. Oh, he's messed with it. He must be the expert. So show us your editor.
Marty, we need to go back in time. 1.21 gigawatts.
Hey, I smell another intro, but here's the quote that really got me. Lipsum aporum or whatever that is. 1.5.0.1. I don't know what's wrong with my voice. I can't work like this. I'm out of here.
Now we're in trouble.
What kind of garbage is that?
This is Brett Thacker, formerly Division Chief of the Delta Launch Operations Division at Kennedy Space Center, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
On this day in history for April 16, 2014, it is the 106th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar, not the 99th year like Craig said last time. There are just 259 days left. I did like that comment about start your Christmas shopping, though.
Yes.
It was on this date in 73, not 1973, but 73, that Masada, a Jewish fortress, falls to the Romans after several months of siege, ending the Great Jewish Revolt.
Wow. And that same date in 1853, the passenger rail opens in India from Bora Bunder to Bombay to Thane. Wow, that's a lot of bees in there.
Bora Bunder, Bombay. I love the alliteration there. Yeah. Also on April 16th, 1908, Natural Bridges National Monument is established in Utah.
And Harriet Quimby becomes the first woman to fly an aeroplane across the English Channel today in 1912.
Contact!
Bernard Baruch coins the term Cold War to describe the relationship between the United States and the Soviet Union on this date in 1947.
And in 1962, Walter Cronkite takes over the lead news anchor for the CBS Evening News, during which time he would become the most trusted man in America.
And that's the way it was on Technorama News.
No, we're not done yet. It was on April 16, 1963, when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. pens his letter from Birmingham Jail, while incarcerated in, you guessed it, Birmingham, Alabama, because that's where they put the Birmingham jail, protesting against segregation.
Really, it's a form of podcasting. And Apollo 16 is launched from Cape Canaveral 42 years ago today.
The Doctor of Death, Jack Kevorkian, participates in his first assisted suicide today in 1990. We celebrate some really weird stuff around here, don't we?
I know.
Happy birthday goes out on this date to Petrus Apianus, the German mathematician and astronomer born on this date in 1495.
And English mathematician and inventor of the octant, John Hadley, was born today in 1682. And I just
It's like a sextant, but it's two more. It's like more than 10. It's 11.
Okay. Yeah. Turn it up.
Also born in the state in 1867, Wilbur Wright, American pilot, engineer, and businessman. He also co-founded the Wright Company.
And Charlie Chaplin, English actor, director, producer, screenwriter, and composer, was born today in 1889. Him and his Nazi regime. No.
It's also the birthday of inventor of the snowmobile, Joseph Armin Bombardier. Born on this date, 1907.
And here's one I can't screw up. Pope Benedict the... It's 87. Whatever.
You can't screw it up, but you gotta
Pope
learn
Benedict
how to read
X VI. Oh, VI. I can get that part.
Yeah. VI is the editor for Unix. I'm waiting for the next revision, VII.
Hey, by the way, that was in my interview. VI or Emacs?
And what did you answer?
VI.
The man behind many of our favorite character voices, Billy West, turned 62.
Well, any works there is also. In our last birthday, the boy who didn't shoot his eye out, actor, director, and producer, Peter Billingsley, is 44.
And finally, it's World Voice Day, so use yours. And that's the way it was on this day in history for insert date here. Budget cuts in the editing department, I guess.
No kidding. That's funny. Yes, I'm a VI man.
I'm waiting for the 7 editor. Just to see the look on their face. Go, I'm waiting for 7.
I'm waiting for VIMAX.
Impending news, everyone!
Well, we do have impending news. A man was arrested at the Large Hadron Collider because he claimed to be from the future. Not because, he and he claims to be from the future.
Yeah.
A would-be saboteur arrested today at the LHC in Switzerland made the bizarre claim that he was from the future. Welcome to the future! In his case, it'd be welcome to the past. Eloy Cole, hey, a strangely dressed young man. Yes.
Wait a minute. When I first read this, I kept thinking E. coli. That's what I kept seeing.
Eloy Cole, not E. coli.
Yes.
Although that would be funny, too. A strangely dressed young man said he had traveled back in time to prevent the LHC from destroying the world. The LHC successfully collided particles at record force earlier this week. A new milestone Mr. Cole was attempting to disrupt by stopping supplies of Mountain Dew to the experiment's vending machines. He also claimed responsibility for the infamous baguette sabotage in November last year.
He's just time traveling everywhere, isn't he?
Mr. Cole was seized by Swiss police after a certain security guard spotted him rooting around in bins. He explained that he was looking for fuel for his, quote, time machine power unit, the Mr. Fusion.
Yeah, I was going to say they wouldn't validate his parking. His DeLorean was out front.
A device that resembled a kitchen blender. Uh-huh. This is strangely familiar. Police said Mr. Cole was wearing a bow tie. Oh, bow ties are cool. And rather too much tweed for his age, who would not reveal his country of origin. Quote, countries do not exist where I am from. The discovery of the Higgs boson led to limitless power, the elimination of poverty, and Kit Kats for everyone.
Yes.
I can't wait for the future.
Yeah. And donuts for everyone.
It is a communist chocolate hellhole, and I'm here to stop it ever happening.
Hmm.
This is a pretty funny article. Of course, you can tell it is an April Fool's joke.
Yeah.
But I thought it was good.
It was pretty good. No, it wasn't April Fool's. It came out February 8th.
What?
Oh, April Fool's. Never mind. Wait.
They even fooled you on the date.
Hey, wait. April 1st, 2010. Maybe I traveled back in time and got this article.
April Fool's 2017. How'd they do that?
Man, I can't believe I got fooled 2 years later.
4 years later. Now who's traveling in time? Gee whiz. Sorry.
I was looking at 2012 over here on the other side. Yeah.
Craig got fooled IV years later.
IV?
We're just going to use Roman numerals for all the episode numbers now.
You know, welcome. I'm going to step out the door and come back and let's reboot this whole thing.
So this would be CLMCML. I'm trying to remember what 402 would be in Roman numerals. Now I can't remember my Roman numerals.
402?
Yeah. C is 100. D is 500. So this would be DC? DCII? Check me on that while we're bringing up the next news story. Sure. NASA offers three explanations for a bright light.
CDII.
All right. Thank you, whoever is still using embedded web players with audio automatically playing.
Oh, that's garbage. I can't believe that.
I hate when we do that. Come on, wait for the page to load. A NASA camera on Mars has captured what appears to be artificial light emanating outwards from the planet's surface. Photos taken on April 2 and April 3 by camera on the Curiosity rover were beamed millions of miles from Mars to the JPL in Pasadena, California. According to NASA, a bright spot appears. Let me pause that video before it plays again. A bright spot in single images taken by the stereo camera's right eye camera. This is a stereo camera, so it's got a right and a left. So you can do the whole 3D thing, right? The right eye camera, but the spot doesn't show up in images taken less than a second later by the left eye camera. In the two right eye images, the spot is in different locations of the image frame. In both cases, at the ground surface level in front of the crater rim on the horizon. Justin Mackey, a NASA imaging scientist, said April 8th by email through a spokesman, here's his quote, "One possibility is that the light is from the glint from a rock surface reflecting the sun," Mackey said in a statement. "When these images were taken each day, the sun was in the same direction as the bright spot, west-northwest from the rover, and relatively low in the sky. Another possibility is that the bright spots are sunlight reaching the camera's image sensor through a vent hole in the camera housing, which has happened before with Curiosity and other Mars rovers," the agency said. "We think it's either a vent hole light or a glinty rock," Mackey said in the emailed statement. "Another possibility is that it's a cosmic ray striking the camera's detector."
Hey, there is one more possibility.
Who's firing their cosmic ray gun? That's what I want to know.
There's one more possibility. The aliens forgot to close the door. they were taking the trash out. They opened the door and, and got busted.
You left the door open. That makes me very, very angry.
Yeah.
Take me to your leader.
It's the plutonium. What the heck was
Pu-36 explosive space modulator on the horizon? You've discovered it, Eureka!
There was one guy. He suggested. I think you may have read it. He was suggesting that it was aliens underground and the whole shebang. I was looking. There was a. Did you read that part? Oh.
No, aliens underground. I missed video. That part.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, let the conspiracy theorists start their having fun.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, there's so many. You know, it's funny when we got a look at the face on Mars. You know, like,
well, this is the reflection of the Ray-Bans on the face on Mars.
Yeah. Yeah, they just put sunglasses on it. Yeah, just remember, like, the face on Mars, right?
It's like when Indiana Jones didn't want to give away his position in Raiders. Look up there on the rock.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. No, but remember the face on Mars, right?
Yes, I remember the quote unquote face on Mars.
Hey, it did look like a face, you know, if you think about it. But at the same time, when they finally got a orbiter there and looked at it, it was like,
looked like nothing like it should have been.
Well, they got better resolution pictures a few years later and went, oh, well, okay. Yeah. It was just a blurry picture of the sun hitting these mountains the right way.
Yeah.
Let us turn to the birthday calendar, where we have a couple of birthdays coming up this week. This is for the week of April 16th through the 23rd or 22nd. Happy birthday on April 18th to Scafey, a.k.a. Anthony. We have not seen or heard from Scafey in a long time. So if you're still out there listening, happy birthday to you. And we'd like to hear from you. And also, Susie the Geek's daughter and geek in training, Amanda. Happy birthday on the 19th. Hope you're still listening out there. I will produce that audio clip you sent us with you and Kevin about 2 years ago.
How about updating it? Because I think some people's voices have changed by now.
Oh, you mean like Harrison saying 10 tiki?
Oh my gosh. He sounds nothing like that anymore. That's right.
I know. Watch it. Listening to this show is like watching the Brady Bunch. It's like, oh, is that old Peter or young Peter?
Yeah, that's right.
It's Harrison. Hey, welcome to Technorama.
Harrison, will you do us another sweeper?
You know what I should do is have him repeat a couple of them.
Simba, remember who you are.
Yeah.
So happy birthday to both of you. And if it's your birthday and you're not on the calendar yet, happy birthday to you also. And if you want to be on the birthday calendar, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki, and we will love you when your birthday comes around. We'll share the love on our...
We'll love you all the time, but we'll especially point it out on your birthday.
This is opt-in, by the way. We are not just scavenging birthday parties and crashing things.
We're
and
not dressing scraping up as Facebook for birthdays.
Dressing up as drunken clowns and going to children's parties. Did I say that out loud?
Oh, that's what we do at Dragon Con. Sans the kids.
when Scott and I were thinking about costumes, this is one of the ideas that came up.
Okay.
It was the drunken messed up Mickey. He'd have like one suspender strap broken, carrying a bottle of Jack. His ears are all off centered. He's going around swearing.
He's got a 5 o'clock shadow.
I couldn't stop laughing because the image was so vivid. You could just see somebody doing this at Dragon Con.
Oh, yeah.
Why not us?
Mickey with a 5 o'clock shadow and a bottle of liquor. That's
you think funny. Disney would be all over that?
Do what?
You think Disney would be all over
that? Oh, yeah. As soon as it got out on CNN during the parade. Oh, yeah.
All right. Let me do the Hacks and Strange Stories thing. Where is it? There it is. Hacks and Strange Mickeys.
Strange Mickeys. Don't slip me one of those things.
All right. We have an image from Imgur. I know this is not really, it is mostly listened to by audio people. So we will describe.
Here, let me illustrate, or at least show the pictures.
Theater of the mind here, babe. Oh, yeah. Well, if you're on the video, Craig is going to put that up there for you.
There you go.
So who did this? What is this gentleman's name?
I don't know his name.
Just Rice?
Yeah, it's some user on Reddit. The
caption is, well, it's official. I own the Enterprise.
Yeah, Just Rice.
Do explain what he did.
Okay, so what he did was he made a fake title for the Enterprise, just like you would a car and you were going to sign it off. So he went and saw Patrick Stewart, took the title to him and had him sign it over. And at the bottom it says a certificate of... the owner, and it says, or it has a signature rather, and it has Captain Jean-Luc Picard, which he had him sign, and then he signed it as Patrick Stewart as a witness by down below.
Right.
Well, he posted this, and William Shatner saw it on Reddit, and he said, "I believe I never gave up the title to the 1701, so Patrick could not have given you a clear title." Wink.
So, but this is the D. He should have indicated that he was getting the title to the 1701D from Stewart.
I know, but
then Kirk wouldn't have had anything to do with it.
Kind of let that go a little bit, okay?
I like this. I like the certificate. It says title number NCC-1701. Make Starship. Body style Galaxy class. Issue date 3/16/2013. So it was apparently a U.S. date. Engine warp. Odometer. 999,999,999,999 miles plus.
Plus.
Yeah, so then Shatner signs off on it.
Yeah,
so Captain
says,
Kirk.
Yeah, says William Shatner, in witness of veracity and accuracy of the signing document. And then it says, hereby ordered and done by so by an order of officer in charge, Captain Kirk, Captain James Tiberius Kirk. So that's kind
so of now he's got official title and deed to the Enterprise. How cool is that? What a creative way to get signatures.
There you go. Be it known to all human and non-humankind that the undersigned certificate certifies that the bearer of this note has been duly registered as the owner of the vehicle described herein, pursuant to all applicable laws, free of any encumbrances or liens.
You know, he probably just took the real wording off a title and tweaked it a little bit. It probably says something like, be it known to all that the undersigned certifies, and he just added to all human and non-humankind.
Yeah, actually... What's funny here? Let me read.
I like the watermark. There's like a Starfleet watermark on the thing too.
Here, let me read the little caption on the first picture though. It says, "I created a mock certificate title for the Enterprise for Patrick Stewart to sign, both as Captain Picard and himself. When I presented him with something that wasn't the normal headshot, he was a little bemused. He was a bit bemused, but he put his glasses on to make sure he wasn't signing an actual legal document and signed away."
Thanks, Patrick. I now own your castle.
Yeah. I own your title, sir.
I love it. What a creative way to do that.
It is. It is. Now, you can't do it, though, because somebody's already done it.
Well, maybe I could go get a different ship.
Maybe Edward James Olmos will be there, and you can get him to sign off one of the Galactica.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Nah, that'd be pretty cool.
That'd be awesome. We also have another thing from Imgur. Thank you very much, Craig, and our crack news team, to say nothing of what they take while they're putting this stuff together. Mm-hmm. This is a gentleman who made a giant Rubik's Cube out of foam board and paint. And he's holding this thing, and it is big. It's probably 3 feet cubed. And it looks like it's actually operational, that the sides and things spin.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he says it's operational.
Oh, wait. If it is, how come the picture where he's holding it is exactly the same?
Oh, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's just holding it. I see. It's just got one of the layers is turned.
Yeah. Which is how everybody denotes that they're. Yeah.
Oh, man, pranked again. Oh,
that's disappointing. That's disappointing.
Thanks, Internet.
No, but that's pretty cool. That's a neat diagram.
Actually, it'd be really cool if you had two of those and used those as like a hassock for your couch.
I wind up with more personal projects when Craig says, "You know what would be really cool?
You know, be really cool. Put these in your living room. You can put your feet up on them when you're sitting."
I've got an idea. There's the end of my time.
Yeah. Actually, that's my motive here is to just eat up all your personal time.
You know what we ought to do?
What, Chuck? Yeah.
You just hear this sucking sound of all the clocks in my house.
The hands start going spinning really fast.
Calendar pages flying off in the foreground as an overlay. Yeah.
Your calendar's ripping off. Yeah. It's funny.
That's how my life feels these days.
Tell me about it.
I understand. All right, let's take a quick break, and we will come back with the Media Corner and the Geek Library.
All right.
And to that end, I should probably play that thing, right?
Yeah, that's your cue.
That's our cue to get out of here, go take a non-smoker smoker break, because if smokers could take a smoker break, I get nothing, so
Union
I don't
rules,
want to take
smoke them if you got them.
Strange units of measure.
This is very bizarre.
Go is 180 millimeters. A pack year is a cigarette consumption based on one pack a day for a year.
Oh, for crying out loud.
A nibble, typically 4 bits of binary code or half a byte.
Now, I knew that one.
Score, that's 20 of something. A hand, 4 inches of horse height.
Now, wait a minute. So you measure a horse in hands. Do you measure a donkey in butt?
No, a donkey is an ass. A TWIP is 1/20th of a typesetting point.
Wow, I didn't know that one.
This is TWIP, This Week in Podcasting.
Don't forget about a thrave, which is 24 sheaves of wheat.
Bring in the sheaves, bring in the sheaves.
A shake is 10 nanoseconds.
Yeah, that's like when you're going to detox.
Look, they're shaking at this certain 10 nanosecond frequency.
Yeah, whatever.
A Mickey is a ratio of computer mouse movements to on-screen cursor movement.
Knew that one.
A Jansky is a strength of radio signals from space.
Long time ago.
A butt is 2 hog's heads or about 126 gallons of boo.
I didn't know that one either.
And smoot is a measure of length developed by some MIT students equal to 5 feet 7 inches, the height of Oliver R. Smoot.
It'll be over in just a moment.
Hello, this is Dr. Floyd.
And this is Dr. Grant from the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd.
And you're listening to Chuck Chat Technorama.
Ooh, Technorama. That sounds fancy and sci-fi.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hear that's with Chuck and Craig.
Who?
Craig.
Craig Stepp?
Yes, Craig Stepp. You know him, right?
Oh, sure. Who doesn't know him?
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Let's give a shout out to the chat room, because we're here every Sunday night at 9:30 to see and hear the show raw and unedited.
This is totally unrehearsed.
I haven't read this in a long time, so I have to get close to the screen and squint.
Yeah, well, get a little closer.
Who do we have in the chat room? We have you and me and Gru and Mad Marv and the Giant. The Giant is back. And we have Thin Stack. Somebody change their handle to Thin Stack, because that's pretty funny, because that's who we use for our, unless that's a bot. I don't know. And we have Tim Elliott. So our crowd is a little thin tonight. No pun intended.
Yeah.
We have a thin stack.
It is a little thin. You know, we should be a little more consistent. And maybe we get people to stay, to come often.
What? Sunday night, 9:30. Show up.
Yeah.
It's not hard. We just compete with like every major award show on TV and maybe Walking Dead. But I suppose you could DVR that, but you can DVR us too in a sense. So
yeah, Walking Dead's done. So we're good. We're
Walking
good
Dead is
on that front yep. right now.
Yep. Done for the season. Coming back in 2015 or something ridiculous. Now, maybe the fall.
No, it comes in August or October. Comes, right?
Yeah. Are yeah.
You,
okay.
Have you been watching it?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Okay. I don't think we really talked about it much. You and I have.
I know I've mentioned it at least a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Carl was going to get it the other day.
Carl? Oh, my God. Well, in a bad way.
Some of these shows are really
He was about
really
to
twisted.
In a bad way. Yes.
Yeah.
It was a nasty
Carl
scene
was
there.
About to get it in the end, if you know what I mean.
Oh, boy. Oh. But thanks to his quick-witted father.
And I didn't think of the other one that was messed up was the one called The Grove, where the two girls and the one kind of loses it. I'm just going to wait for them to turn.
That was a disturbing show, man.
That was disturbing. But the thing I can't figure out is they walked in with the two little girls and Judith. At the end, they walked out without Judith. But they never said what happened to her or showed or said anything. Where is the baby?
I got to go look because I'm not so sure about that.
No, when what's her face and what's his name?
Tyrese and Carol.
Thank you. When they walked back onto the tracks, they were not carrying a child. So I don't know. Count the graves. Oh, spoiler alert. Let's look at this. We have another one of those wonderful theme songs using floppy
far
drives.
Far be it from us to showcase musical floppy drives.
Right. I think my favorite, even after this one was cool, but I think my favorite is still the Pirates of the Caribbean one.
The Ghostbusters one was cool.
Yeah. That one, it sounds like it was just made for floppy drives. This one was neat, but I almost prefer the Doctor Who theme on the giant Sparky Van de Graaff generator things. What do they call those?
Well,
that was a little cooler.
Yeah, this right here, it actually took me a minute to kind of throw the pattern recognition on it and figure it out. You know, I was like, okay. I mean, I knew what song it was supposed to be, but listening to it, it's like, okay, now I hear it.
I can imitate a 3.5-inch floppy drive.
You know what? Usually you don't want a floppy drive making these sounds when you're actually using it. It's eating my floppy.
True. Imagine what they could do with hard drives.
Yeah, you could really do some cool stuff. Yeah, you could. It wouldn't be quite as loud, I don't think. But
so, Doctor Who theme on 8. Count them. 8 wonderful floppy drives.
Yeah, 3.5 floppies all around.
3.5.
Yeah, those things were noisy.
Apparently, you have to take them out of the enclosure to make a video. This looks like the same people who did the Pirates of the Caribbean theme, because they have the TV there and the 8 floppy drives. Similar kind of setup and layout. And instead of a picture of Doctor Who or the TARDIS or anything on the screen, they just have a picture of a bow tie, and it says, cool.
Are cool.
Are cool.
Yeah.
Bow ties are cool.
Well, setting out the floppies like this on a counter, it would make them louder, I think.
Oh, that's true. Resonance.
Yes.
All right. And finally, in the Geek Library, we have the Heartbleed. Not a virus, which I hate when the media does that.
Well, see, I put this in here because I saw your little rant about it the other day.
I didn't rant. I just said, hey, media, it's not a virus, because when I was in San Diego, they kept talking about the Heartbleed virus and how you might get infected. And I went, get your facts straight. These people clearly aren't technically savvy, nor are the writers.
Well, that's like for a long time, I was upset because people, the way they used the word hacker.
Mm-hmm.
You make it sound like a bad thing when that's really the only way people can understand the bad thing when you say, you know.
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen? People are going to want to go out and buy antivirus software to fix the Heartbleed thing.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
But the good thing about this is 1Password reduced their price by 50% for this.
Do what?
1Password was on sale for 50% off this week.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good deal.
I thought that was pretty creative.
Mm-hmm.
So XKCD came out with their explanation, and you know what? This even helped me. I did not realize this, but I thought it was pretty cool how it actually worked. So they got the stick figure person standing next to a server, and it says, server, are you still there? If so, reply, potato, 6 letters. And the server thanks about it and says, user Meg wants these 6 letters, P-O-T-A-T-O.
Wait a minute, stop there for a second. I keep thinking of
John Bell.
John Bell, yeah. Potato.
Right.
Here is your response, potato.
Yeah, that's right.
Server, are you still there? If so, reply, bird, 4 letters.
Potato.
Yeah, that's right.
I honestly thought, user Meg wants these 4 letters, B-I-R-D. She thinks. Server, if you are still there, if so, reply, hat, 500 letters. User Meg wants these 500 letters, H-A-T. And what it does is it responds H-A-T, and then all the other stuff in memory. It's like the pointer doesn't know where to stop.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
It doesn't stop at a null or a new line or anything. It just goes and reads starting at H-A-T. It says, hat, Lucas requested the missing, what is it? Connections page. Eve, administrator, wants to set server master key to 1480034. Isabel wants pages about snakes, but not too long. User Karen wants to change account password. So it's giving you back all that extraneous stuff. It doesn't know where to stop.
Yeah.
Now, the thing I found interesting, if I know we have a lot of technically savvy people, but we have some people that are not that sharp on web programming and stuff. It probably got lost when we started messing around with response codes and things too. So here is, in a nutshell, what I read in the Wall Street Journal and other publications. Mm-hmm. Of what Heartbleed is and does. Heartbleed is a vulnerability in OpenSSL.
Right.
OpenSSL is that thing that makes your little lock turn locky when it uses an HTTPS connection.
Right.
Right. It says use port 443. It's encrypted. And when people like Amazon and Yahoo and many, many other people who are doing web applications need SSL, the secure socket layer, to say, I need to encrypt this information so that usernames and passwords aren't being passed around in clear text. They just go out to the internet and say, what can I use? Oh, here's OpenSSL. Everybody uses it, so it must be good, right? Well, there's all of four guys that maintain this code.
Yeah.
One of them claims to be his full-time job. The rest are, maybe volunteer or no longer with the project, whatever it is.
Sure.
It's been around for about 15 years.
Oh, easy. Yes.
So it's one of these de facto standards that everybody just glommed on and started using. And then we discover there's this vulnerability in it. And suddenly, you know, who do you run to? This one guy? And say, please fix this? So a lot of organizations like Yahoo have gone and made the appropriate changes themselves, but they're still using OpenSSL, which, you know, it's kind of scary how...
Well, you know, like you said, OpenSSL, I mean, it's one of those things that everybody relies on, yet it's not interesting enough for everybody to want to work on, you know, crypto.
Right.
Who not everybody wants to work on crypto kind of stuff. So it kind of goes largely, not ignored, but underdeveloped because, you know, nobody wants to work on it. But if all these companies work on it, they should probably throw a little, you know, incentive to work on.
I don't think they're actually working on it. I think they're just using it carte blanche.
That's what I'm saying is going forward, they should, you know,
now that they've patched that, are there security people looking for other vulnerabilities and feeding that? Isn't that the whole spirit of open source?
Well, you talked about that on the last show. I heard you.
Yeah. Well, that is the whole advantage to open source is many eyes on the code, you know, but again, yeah. OpenSSL is one of those things like, who's interested in doing that?
Where'd they come up with the name Heartbleed?
I don't know. I always
thought, is it kind of like Comets? The first person to discover it gets to name it?
Yeah.
That's probably was named by Frank Heartbleed.
Frank Heartbleed. Yeah, probably.
Going back two shows, that would be a good band name also. Probably is already a band name.
Yeah, Heartbleed. So, yeah, it's just one of those things, man. It needs to be fixed and, you know, actively funded. Especially, you know, Amazon, throw them a few bucks for crying out loud.
Yeah, Amazon Web Services. Vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Holy cow. Hey,
you know, I don't know about 1Pass because I've been using LastPass, and I don't mean to say one's better than another, but I know on LastPass, they actually rolled out a tool to scan through your vault and tell you which sites you have passwords for that you need to change your password for.
I am probably behind on changing a few passwords.
Yeah.
I have an algorithm now, so it's not just, you know, like one password everywhere. It's if I'm on this site, the algorithm makes a completely different password than I'm on this site. But I know the algorithm well enough that I don't have to go to the vault every time. I use KeePass.
No.
Oh, I forgot to mention the Heartbleed vulnerability. It doesn't actually read anything off the hard drive or anything. All this information that it requests, it says, server, give me, you know, potato, 6 characters. That's all in memory. It's hanging onto this stuff in memory. So that's even creepier in a way.
Actually, I would think it would clean up a little bit. Is there a garbage collection or something? Is this just a bug in the OpenSSL, I guess?
Well, it's probably a cache somewhere, so you don't have to keep going to disk, because the minute you write it to disk, it becomes a vulnerability on another level.
Mm-hmm. So
anyway, I don't deal with software at that level.
What I was saying about last, it wasn't actually telling me that I had old passwords. It was just telling me the sites that said, please change your password because of the Heartbleed thing. And it would scan through.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was like a tool to help you identify which sites you need to go to.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of cool. But
yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah. All right, that takes us to the end of the show. We appreciate you giving us your time this week again. And if you like the show, there are many ways you can show your love. Call us on the listener line. We have not heard from anybody. In fact, we have to call it every once in a while so they don't disconnect us.
Hey,
206.
The second coming came and left us the only two people podcasting on the planet.
If you could picture cobwebs on a telephone, that's what ours looks like right now. Okay.
Cobwebs.
It's... 206-222-CHAT, 206-222-2428. If you're international, what is that, plus 011?
I don't remember.
DCII.
Did you finally get that 402?
Yes, I did.
402 rings a bell for another reason. I can't remember what it is right now. Isn't that like a size of an engine or something?
402, probably.
Yeah, 402 cubic inches.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, my brain just does that with numbers all the time. Mm-hmm. Weird thing. Tell me what you think 402 means. Call us on the phone line or send us an email or a Facebook or a Twitter or something else. We would love to hear from
you. Email, the new snail mail.
Everybody loves it. You can find all that information on our website at chuckchat.com/technorama, Google+, Facebook, all of it is over there. And thank you once again. This is the time of year, week, month, day, I don't remember, that we love to thank all our patrons who donate to the tip jar and contribute to their micro payments of just a couple of bucks and keep our bandwidth going. That's why we've been going for almost 10 years.
It's their fault. Blame them.
Stop it. Stop it. You're not encouraging them.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm doing it wrong.
You know what else we forgot to say? Craig has a new job.
Yes. I'm excited about
it. Craig and I now work for the same company. Watch out.
Yes. As of the time we're recording this, I haven't quite started yet. So I've actually been unemployed this last weekend.
So have I. Everybody's unemployed over the weekend.
Not everybody. Oh, in France.
Deal with it.
Maybe.
And he got a laptop on Friday because he's now working from home. And it says, do not log in until Monday.
Yeah,
it says, it's like a Christmas present, just calling his name that he can't use it.
Who does that?
It's because the Active Directory account doesn't go active until your date of hire.
Yes, I understand
that.
That's
what it's all about.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I just plugged it up to charge it up. It's there.
Now, I have recently moved in the last few months from being someone who works on customer stuff and billable to an internally facing department called enablement.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot of internal training for the people and finding materials and finding SMEs and whatnot and doing podcasts. If you want to look for that, that's great. I think it would be more than mildly entertaining for Craig to wind up in one of my classes.
Yeah, I'd have to actually pay attention to Chuck. What'd he say?
Because that doesn't happen here at all.
I'll be like, Mr. Tomasic, I got a question.
He'd go, wow, you do kind of know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I better after 4 years of six years of doing this.
Yeah, let's don't get crazy talk.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for listening. Thank you to Mad Marv, who gave us other content during the week on the blog. Chuckchat.com/technorama is where you can find that. Thank you to those of you who have sent us humorous links, stuff on Google+, Facebook, all that other stuff. And those who joined us on the Hangout, thank you, Tim and Gru and Finstack, whoever you might be hiding behind that, and Giant and Captain Rootbeer and Mad Marv, of course. And how many days until Dragon Con? Not many.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of work left to do.
Oh, yeah.
Two costumes this year. More about that later. If you haven't done so already, tell a friend about Technorama. Please. He won't be disappointed. They might, but you won't.
Yeah, that's right.
Until next time.
Drag your friends into this, too.
Give me a binary high five.
101.
Thank you and good night.
I'm waving.
I'm waving too. Whoa.